It's 5 minutes with me.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the new, I was going to say semester, season of 5 minutes with Marco. We are, if you're listening to this, like the time that it comes out, we're actually kind of celebrating the fact that I was a little surprised by this. My friend who does some ops work for the Youth Cartel to check where we were at in terms of listeners. And he told me we passed like 160,000 downloads. So that's kind of wild. Hey, fun. This is going to be a little longer than 5 minutes today. But you know, not crazy. Still going to be short, the shortest podcast in the youth ministry world. And I want to talk a little bit about innovating, not necessarily being an innovator, but being a change agent, being a creative, without being disconnected. And well, let me just dive in, because there's this tension that I live with. I'm passionate about innovation in youth ministry, but if I'm really honest, I'm not a true entrepreneur. I want to stir up change. I love hearing about bold and risky youth workers who are experimenting. I often scramble up on my little soapbox and rant about this or that perspective or approach that needs to be dismantled. I mean, come on, I even started a little fledgling organization called the Youth Cartel, not exactly a safe name, with the tagline, instigating a revolution in youth ministry. But I also have these internal and external forces, fear, complacency, expediency, that pull me back to the way it's always been done. It's like a gravitational force. I'll speak to a group of youth workers on a weekend about the need for change, record a ranty podcast episode on Monday. Hey, it's Monday while I'm recording this. Encourage a youth worker in my youth ministry coaching program to take a huge risk on Tuesday, then fall back to what's easiest with my middle school small group on a Wednesday night. At times, I think I'm a wannabe innovator. Maybe that's why I found such great encouragement in one of the strangest and most wonderful little books I've ever read. It's called Orbiting the Giant Hairball by the late, great Gordon McKenzie, which has been an assigned book in every cohort I've ever led of our youth ministry coaching program. McKenzie's weird book tells stories and gleans principles from his decades-long working life at Hallmark, the bastion of greeting cards. The author constantly struggled with the bureaucracy, red tape, naysayers, and compliance-demanding systems of his workplace. But through a bit of luck and a big dose of creativity, he shaped himself into a sort of corporate shaman with the absurdist job title, Creative Paradox. Really, that was his job title. There are dozens of gems in the book, but my primary ongoing takeaway, I've read the book four times, is the metaphor of the title. While the world needs eccentric and whatever the cost entrepreneurs, the world of youth ministry surely needs these people, most of us live our vocational lives in organizations with hairballs that exert significant gravitational pull. If we want to have an impact on the organization, in our case churches, we have to avoid two extremes. We have to find ways to protect ourselves from getting stuck into the hairball while not shooting off onto our own trajectory. We have to orbit, staying in the gravitational pull of the hairball without succumbing to it. A true youth ministry entrepreneur would say, I'm going to do this a new way, no matter what happens, whether I keep my job or lose it, whether I impact the church or have to do this outside the church. We need those people. But I'm realizing that's not me. I am called to the orbit. I think there's some forces that corrode innovation. Even in the orbit, I have to be intentional about resisting the hairball's pull. I've noticed a handful of things that I have to be particularly cautious about. One is the love of new. I have a short attention span, and I'm constantly drawn to the next new thing, whether it's a youth ministry idea or a new smartphone. Whatever good or broken thing in me drives this has to be stabled from time to time. New for the sake of new causes all sorts of problems. When I live this way and think this way, I hurt people. I get more interested in the new thing than in people. I both reflect and add to our cultural obsession with acquiring new things and discarding potentially good old things. I set myself up to miss out on the beauty of stillness and unchanging. I get ruthlessly dismissive about what was good. I have, in the name of new, tossed out many an archetypal baby with the bathwater that was hurlworthy. A second force that corrodes innovation, my own insecurities. I can be a bull in a china shop, to be sure, but sometimes only because I like being perceived as the kind of guy who's willing to be that bull. In my desire to be innovative, my insecurities work against me in two ways. First, my insecurities and desire for approval fuel me to innovate merely so I will be perceived as an innovator. Seriously, how lame is that? Surely any innovation born out of that motivation will be short-lived at best, or hollow and hurtful at the worst. On the other side of the equation, my insecurities work against me to curb innovation. The thinking that lurks in my subconscious says, in this case, it would be easier and safer to retreat to the majority way or the old way where tried and true measures of success are more predictable. A third force corroding innovation, for me at least, is a desire for security. The professionalization of youth ministry brought some undeniable changes, but in many ways, it's the worst thing that ever happened to youth ministry. When I am being paid to do youth ministry, our innovation muscles are unavoidably restrained. I find this attention regularly in my work with the youth cartel. I deeply desire for us to instigate a revolution in youth ministry, but I also need to figure out how to pay my mortgage and pay for the adventurous vacations my wife and I like to take. There's great job security in not being a boat rocker. Fourth force is the fear of being marginalized. I was confronted with my fears at various points over the last 15 years. My fears sort of sickened me, but as I've identified them, they played a wonderful role in my pursuit of humility. I know I have an almost insatiable desire to live larger than life. The squiggly thing under the rock is my fear of being forgotten or marginalized or lacking. And it's a counterproductive fear, and it stunts my creativity. You might not share this exact same fear, though I think it's common to many youth pastors. But what I've so strongly found in the consulting work I've done over the last decade and a half is that every organization and every leader carries with them fears that are more than willing to stifle creativity and innovation, truncate risk, and derail deep set transformation. Being honest about your fears when it comes to change and risk is a critical component of maintaining orbit around the hairball. So I've come up with two essential thrusters for sustaining orbit. It's weird language, but spaceships or large ocean vessels, I have a little more experience with boats, share a technology that helps them make minor directional adjustments without firing up their engines. Thrusters. On a boat, bow thrusters move the front of the ship left or right. On a spacecraft, they provide short bursts of propulsion to move in any direction. In order for us to stay in the sweet spot between a useless trajectory of our own and getting mired in the disabling effect of the hairball, we need two thrusters. First of those is courage. Anyone with healthy or unhealthy resistance to change, most of us have this, need a dose of courage from time to time to push us in the direction of innovation. Here's what I've learned. I cannot make myself have courage any more than I can make myself have the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual courage comes from the Holy Spirit. The etymology of the word itself tells us this. The root of courage is cur, which means heart. And courage literally means to have a full heart. Excitement and praise and rewards and potential can partially fill my heart, but they're not sustainable. My heart can only be truly topped off in the face of significant risk by the fuel of the Holy Spirit. And second thruster is humility. I'm done being an arrogant risk taker. I want no part of innovation born out of my own hubris. Instead, I long to experience a life of humility. Humility can keep me from believing my innovations are surefire. Humility can keep me from steamrolling people. Humility can prevent me from dismissing others made in the image of God who do not agree with my inventions. I long to experience a life of Jesus-y courage tempered by Jesus-y humility. I long for a tribe of youth workers who will fire up their thrusters of courage and humility, overcome their fears and insecurities, and move into orbit together, not disdaining the hairball, but exerting our own gravitational pull on it while it reciprocates with us.
The Youth Cartel Podcast Network.